stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got to get away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at KoopaTroopa8. If you haven't gotten involved with the South Harmon community, now is the time to do that. Whether it's joining our live streams every Wednesday, every Friday, every Tuesday, across the multitude of different channels that we have, whether it's being part of the Discord and joining that at patreon.com/South Harmon, you need to get involved. If you're a regular listener of this podcast, those are the places you want to be in order to be able to talk to other people that speak fantasy like you do. So either find us on our YouTube channels where we do all of our live streams, or go to patreon.com/South Harmon in order to join there. This week is a little bit more of a homework style episode, where I'm going to talk through what it is that I'm doing this week, so that way you have some idea of what you need to do. And usually, I try to do these episodes a week beforehand, but I honestly got caught a little bit unprepared for this week, and it's because this week is the Bipocalypse. I didn't realize it was week 8. I just hadn't looked that far ahead and realized, hey, week 8 is that week where everybody's going to be struggling. And so we're now hitting the point where people are struggling to fill their lineups, and this is the perfect opportunity where you can get peak value out of your players, especially those ones that aren't going to be worth anything once you get to the offseason. Like, this is probably your last chance to sell very easily a lot of the guys that are on your teams that are just kind of hanging out. They don't really have a great path towards increased production, but you know, they're there and they're putting up some production. And so if you can get those guys off your team, now is the time that you might actually be able to get something liquid or something younger for them. So as part of that, what we need to do is reevaluate where all of our teams stand. So if you remember all the way back when we were talking about this just 4 weeks ago, it feels like so long ago, but it was only a month, I was going through and setting some pretty broad parameters for teams that I counted as competing versus ones that I did not count as competing. And this time around, I'm severely restricting those numbers. Those numbers are going to be restricted to, I need to at least be top 7 in any lineup league, assuming it's a 6-team playoff. I actually have one league where it's a 5-team playoff, and so I'm setting for myself that I need to realistically think I'm top 6 in that league. In best ball, I want to be at least top 4. Ideally, obviously, I want to be higher than that, but like 4 is basically the lowest that I'm going to stretch here. And I think I have a reasonable path where I can look at this team and say, I'm top 4 in this league right now. Those are the only teams that I'm going to continue to compete in this season. Everything else is now triggering the rebuild portion of the season for me. Really quickly, just to talk through why I have these different numbers for different types of leagues. So in a lineup league, you can have random spike week performances and notably random down week performances from your opponents. If you have one guy that does really good and your opponent's person that does really good is on their bench, well, you can just end up winning a completely random week that you are not expecting to win. People that have been playing Dynasty for a long time know this factor. In best ball, it's a lot harder to do that. The best teams in best ball usually have a bunch of depth where, hey, that top tier wide receiver who absolutely flopped and only scored 4 points this week, well, they aren't in their lineup. They just didn't even make their team. They got their base level of 13 points out of some guy that came in and filled their flex spot. It really comes down to, hey, did you have enough guys that can beat their top level guys? That's what it ends up coming down in best ball. If you have equal depth, it's whose top end is better. The problem is, usually when you're sitting there at fifth or sixth, those sorts of teams, you're kind of scraping by, but you don't have the kind of depth to match the other teams in the league. When you're looking at how you're scoring your points, you're like, yeah, my last flex spot was filled by somebody that got me 6 points. And you're being buoyed by some top-tier performances from some of those top-tier players. Whereas if you look at the top teams, they have those top-tier players, and their last flex spot is still scoring them 12, 13 points. That is something that you cannot feasibly make up and is rare enough that if I'm sitting there in fifth or sixth, I am willing to kick the bucket or kick the can down the road and trade away my assets to some of those top teams in order to give them the depth that they're trying to seek against each other. Or potentially even give them some of the top tier players if it makes sense and they have the assets to do that. So that's the reason that I'm setting those parameters. Now, what does that look like for me? This is the point where I can start to evaluate, hey, how am I doing as a manager? Am I doing what I would expect to do in terms of how many leagues I have competing versus rebuilding? And do I need to reevaluate any of my own strategies? When it comes to lineup leagues, I'm not doing as well as I want to be doing. So I currently have 9 rebuilders and 5 competitors based on these parameters. So with that, that's something where I need to take a look at how have I ended up in this kind of position where I am at 5 competitors versus 9 rebuilders. And what can I do to potentially change that for the future? Maybe not something to evaluate right now, but it is important to note that that is where I'm at with my lineup leagues. I do think there is some amount of that I've taken over some pretty bad orphans, and then also I've gotten some unluckiness this past offseason in terms of how I set up some of my teams. So it's something that I need to reevaluate. How can I reduce that luck factor in order to have these teams that are, in fact, more competitive? If I look at my best ball leagues, I currently have, depending on how you count it, 24 that are rebuilding with 11 that are competing. Now, the reason I say depending on how you count it is shout out to Dynasty Barry. He's got this awesome league where 3 of the Dynasty leagues are linked to each other. And so that set of 3 leagues that I took over, if I count them individually, yes, it is 24 and 11. But if I count those as one, it becomes 22 to 11. So that's just something that, depending on how you want to count this sort of thing, it entirely depends on how I look at these numbers. But notably, in best ball leagues, that matches much more closely with what we would expect. I'm looking for teams that are at the very least top 4. And raw expectation would be 1/3, which 11 to 22, yeah, that makes total sense. So when I'm evaluating strategy for myself, it looks like I am a better best ball player than lineup player. I mean, it's something that I was pretty sure I already knew because I focus so much on these little edges, which can really get accentuated in best ball as opposed to lineup leagues. So now that I've gone through and looked at all of my teams and I've put them into those buckets of, hey, these are the ones that I'm competing in, these are the ones that I'm not competing in, what am I trying to do? Well, the first thing is, I'm going to all of my rebuilding lineup teams, and I'm just looking through all the other teams in the league. Who doesn't have a second quarterback in their superflex spot? Who's sitting there starting some backup running back who's barely worth anything. Like, I'm talking, like, you've got Samaje Perine in your starting lineup, somebody like that. Okay, can I go and sell you a running back or a wide receiver that you're going to be happier with putting into that spot because you don't want to lose this week 8 week? And can I potentially sell any of these guys that I have sitting around on my team? I'm talking getting rid of, like, my Jalen Warrens, my Rashid Shaheeds, my Carson Wentzes, my Tyrod Taylors, all those guys that are sitting around on your team. You're like, hey, I've got this guy, he's hanging around, and he's going to be playing fine. Nothing exciting, but I can give you this bye week fill-in, and I can get something back. Whether it's somebody who's younger and just hasn't performed as well, or whether it's just, hey, just give me a draft pick. I'll spend the draft pick later. That's the kind of thing that I am looking to exchange to these other managers. But notably, I'm going out, I'm specifically trying to target them. I'm not doing as much of the trade spam technique with this as much as going, you, this manager, I see you need somebody like this, and I'm going to do my darndest to fill this hole for you. And just make it so it's a trade that you look at it and you go, yeah, I kind of need to do that. They're reading me like a book. I should go ahead and accept this. That's the kind of trade that I'm trying to get done right now. And the reason I'm doing it this week of all weeks is because of this whole bipocalypse. Because there are so many players on bye, there's so many injuries, people are just needing bodies in their lineups. And so it's the one time of the year that you can get away with getting rid of some of these guys. After this point, once we start getting a little bit later on, nobody's excited about the names that I just read off. What they're looking for is they're looking for a tier up. They're looking for their Jordan Addisons, their Chris Olaves, their Roma Dunzes. Like, those kinds of players are the ones that they want on their teams. Because they're trying to make the push, and they want players that have a little bit more upside to them. Right now, they're just trying to get their floor higher. On the flip side, if you have a contending team where you need somebody to slot into a spot, don't be afraid to go ahead and spend that third that you've accumulated, or that your second round pick or something like that. Getting yourself somebody who's going to be able to help you through this little bit of a mess that you have going on here. It's the time of year where you're pushing in those smaller assets to keep yourself in contention while you try and hold out as long as you can before pushing in the big ones. So right here, if you're listening to this on Saturday morning, this is potentially one of the weeks that you need to be paying the most attention to your teams, and you need to make sure that they're all in the spot that you need by the time games kick off on Sunday. So that's your homework for this week. Go through all of your teams, reevaluate them, use some of the parameters that I've given you, or have your own. Whatever it is, right now you need to make sure that your teams are in the positions you want them to be in, so that way you're able to take your teams and make the right decisions and take advantage of the values as they exist right now. So with that, I want to get into a couple players in terms of trades that I am going to be spamming out this week, or that I'm players that I'm going to be targeting for trying to sell them or potentially buy in these other teams. The first one is Khalil Shakir. He's been solid, not great, but solid. He's somebody that can give you floor if you have him, or if you have him on your team, you've been eating some points that maybe you don't want to eat. So if you can get rid of Khalil Shakir and potentially get a second round pick, that's something that I'm going to be doing all the time. Same thing goes with Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen, he's an older wide receiver. If your team's not competing, you shouldn't have him on your team anymore. You just need to get rid of the man so that way you have that value put into something that you can use in the offseason. So go ahead, sell your Keenan Allen for a third at this point. I mean, it doesn't feel great, but he's old enough. You don't know what he's going to be doing after this season. This might be the last time anybody's even interested in buying Keenan Allen. Ramondre Stevenson has been getting all the work out there in New England. once again, somebody who everyone sees the writing on the wall of, yeah, he should be losing work to Travion Henderson at some point, but he's not right now. And if somebody needs a running back to put into their running back slot or even a flex spot, Ramondre's getting the work. So you can potentially get that second round pick, or maybe you have to give Ramondre in a third to get a second. That's something that I'd be willing to do just to make sure I get Ramondre off my team in terms of what he's looking like and what this Patriots run game is looking like and where it should hopefully be going. Lastly, Chase Brown. Chase Brown is somebody who he's been solid. He hasn't been great, but he's been okay. If you have him on your team, you aren't scoffing completely at the points that he's been giving you because he's just been getting a ton of volume. Well, if you can get off of Chase Brown and use him to get yourself into some other players, I'm talking like get yourself into some wide receivers that you like, get yourself into a second and a decent player, something like that. Like, I'm willing to do that for Chase Brown. It's just something where you need to go and you need to go and seek that out. And one bonus player that I nearly forgot about, Javonte Williams. Go and sell your Javonte Williams to somebody who needs the amazing amount of points that he's putting up. Yeah, Javonte, who knows what he's doing after this season? It's the Dallas Cowboys. They're playing like a dumpster fire as a team as a whole. But, I mean, they're putting up fantasy points. So might as well get those points onto somebody that can actually use them. Or grab them for your team for as long as they're continuing to put them up. So lastly for this week, I want to talk through the tight ends don't matter players for this week. So last week, we used Darnell Washington, and I talked about him in the podcast episode because I was recording it right at the tail end of the Steelers game, and so we got to know how he did. And he was the worst out of the three tight ends on the Steelers, but still put up a good performance. In terms of looking at it for this week, he went from having the number one matchup last week to the number two matchup this week. My other options are Julian Hill, who has the number one worst matchup. Tanner Connor, who's on the same team as Julian Hill, also will have that number one worst matchup. And then Daniel Bellinger, who has the fourth worst matchup. Looking at this, I think I'm going to take a chance on Darnell Washington again this week. I will probably be able to get Julian Hill again next week. I might even be able to get Daniel Bellinger. After this past week, though, he'll probably be rostered a little bit more than he might be too high for me to be able to use him in this strategy. But I'd rather just play it a week at a time. You have no idea who's going to be available next week. And so I'm going to play the matchup. Darnell Washington, number two best matchup. And all those Steelers tight ends are able to eat, apparently. So let's stick him in our lineups again and continue to ride him. That's everything that I have for this week. A little bit of a shorter episode than usual, but it's more of a, hey, you all need to do the homework. So take this little bit of extra time. Make sure you're spending it going through your teams and making sure that you're in the position that you need to be in. As always, make sure to check out everything we have going on over here at South Harmon. And feel free to reach out to me at Dynasty Koopa on X and at KoopaTroopa8 everywhere else. That's all I have for this week. And as always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.